from Fork.
Blog Talk Radio.
What fucked up?
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry and put that pools in your money and hold that money and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
Yeah.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Still, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, shoot it! So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles. The kid no one would pick. Was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Because I asked you to leave because you did not pay your rent. I asked you to leave my house. I wasn't evicting you. I didn't want to even put an eviction on your record. I just asked you to leave my house and you do this shit? Like, because I asked you to leave my house and you wouldn't leave talking about, Timmy, you going to have to take me to court? You do all this, though? Like, I ain't never did shit to you, never. I gave your bitch ass a place to live when nobody else would give you a place to live. And you tear my shit up? Ain't no scam, bitch, because ain't no insurance on this motherfucker. This gonna come out my pocket, bitch. You gotta have insurance to pull a scam, dumb bitch. Like, you did this shit to me because I asked you to pay me my money? I work hard every motherfucking day. I go to work and stay the fuck out the way. I don't bother no motherfucking body. I didn't care if you and your nigga was in this bitch selling drugs, doing whatever the fuck you was doing. I didn't give a fuck. I told you, long as you keep my house up and pay me my rent, I wasn't gonna fuck with y'all. Ain't no landlord doing that shit. Because I know y'all gotta feed y'all family like I gotta feed mine, bitch. This what the fuck y'all do to people? I swear to God on my mama, bitch, if I see you, I'm going I'm mad as a motherfucker. I'd kill this bitch if I seen her. On my soul, I would. I'm mad as fuck. My motherfucking dentist called me and asked me for $2,000, and I give it to him. Like this, I'm not that type of motherfucker. This is fucked up. This bitch bogus. This, bro, I'm so motherfucking mad. I swear to God. Oh, my mama, I'm mad, bro. If I see this bitch, I'd kill this bitch. On my soul, I would. I'd kill this bitch. I'd do anything for people. I work hard for the shit I got so I can feed my kids and leave my kids something. I could be doing any motherfucking thing out here. I go to work and take care of my motherfucking kids. I don't go out. I don't do shit. Fuck ass bitch. Man, I'm mad as fuck. This is why people be fucking people up. I swear to God. This is people fuck people up. I'm so mad. They know. Lord God, I'm so thankful you I moved out of Racine, because if I could have got to this bitch while she was doing it, it'd be some flower bringing in. Ooh, man, I would have killed that bitch. I would have beat her and her kids up. I would have killed them all. Oh, my mama, I would have. She had them little ghetto, badass, ugly motherfuckers running around here with a hammer, busting my shit out. Punk ass bitch. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Whew. Lord, keep me. Lord, I need to calm the fuck down. But I know I gotta start getting this shit up and secure this house. I'm so motherfucking mad. Look at this bitch. Man, I mean, the bitch took a hammer to my washer and dryer. Like, I feel like everybody should live nice. Everybody should be able to live. I want my tenants to live good, so I put the Samsung front loaders and shit. Like, landlords don't do this type of shit, but these bitches, what? Like, because I asked you to pay me my rent, and if you couldn't to leave, you bust out all my windows and tear shit up like this? Nikki, you a dirty bitch. You a dirty ass bitch. On the real, you a dirty bitch. On the real. All the doors, all, bro. Man. Look at this. I can't even stop. My dumb ass walking around in circles and shit. I'm so motherfucking mad. I'm confused my motherfucking self. Like, this shit retarded. I'm motherfucking crying. I'm mad as a bitch. I'm mad as a motherfucker. Shit. Ooh. Bro. Man, I cannot believe this bitch did this though. It's cool. It ain't cool. Hey, go downstairs in that trunk and grab some garbage bags, them heavy duty construction bags off the car. Thank you.
What do you think?
$750,000, huh?
Well, fudge the numbers a little.
Yeah.
He's just a little bit nervous. He's never made this kind of investment before.
I know.
Legal description of building.
It's a wooden building with windows.
So we rent the studio for $1,000 and one bedroom for $1,200.
$1,300. You should go up and down.
Brand new gas stove, disposal, microwave.
Good.
You have to remember this is an investment, Patty.
It's not just an investment, it's our home.
Palmer, right?
Goodman.
Hi, Carter Hayes.
We've done a beautiful job here.
When can I move in, Drake?
You don't even know him. You don't even know his real name.
It isn't Carter Hayes.
Mr. Hayes?
Mr. Hayes? Is that you?
Mr. Hayes? Hayes!
He's not like anyone else. He does whatever he wants.
He's changed the locks. I don't like this guy.
Hayes' rent didn't come, did it?
This is a sick individual, Ms. Palmer.
Look, I know you're in there. I can hear you in there.
If he's in, he's got rights.
This is all happening to us in our home.
Jay? He's far and away the most intelligent man I've ever met.
This is my business. I'm very good at it.
He tried to cut me out,
what, man.
Just don't do it!
You? Just chasing a shadow.
I want him out of here!
Give him to the police, please.
This isn't a moral question, Patricia. This is a game.
You're asking the wrong man!
Hello, Patty.
It's nothing personal. God forbid he ever makes it personal.
I like to do with you, Patty.
Pacific Heights.
Is real San Francisco, you know. That's what we love about it.
It's a great feeling to be able to wake up and know you're in this, in, right in the heart of San Francisco. We worked many years and we felt we'd like to do some traveling and just have time to do some leisure activities that we weren't able to do.
We've worked really hard for many, many years, 7 days a week, and we just wanted a little peace.
The ordinance is giving the Levins and people like them only two choices. One, be landlords forever, even if you don't want to. Or two, pay over $100,000 to a tenant who can then use the money for any reason they want.
Over $100,000 is a big chunk of money.
We definitely feel like we don't have control of our property.
That's hard money for, you know, people, you know, like us. I mean, we're just, you know, middle class people. I mean, who has that? Who has that just to give away? Now our retirement, we need to postpone maybe a few years or so because we just can't do that. We just don't have enough funds to, you know, stretch out our retirement. Our dream is definitely dimmed over this whole issue.
You work your whole life to get to a certain point, and then you have something like this come along, and it changes your plans, and it's disturbing to me.
We have an egregious violation of constitutional rights. Property owners have a right to go out of the business of being landlords.
We do not plan to rent any part of this house. We bought it with the idea of just having it as our own home.
We're not greedy landlords, and we're not house flippers.
we really appreciate Pacific Legal Foundation giving us a voice here that we didn't have.
I think it's wonderful that they're taking on the city, that they have the interest to do this, you know, for so many people in our position.
The idea of suing the government is overwhelming, and most people simply can't do it. Pacific Legal Foundation is here to help the Levins have a voice in the court and to protect their constitutional property rights.
Time has come. You know, we need to fight back.
And welcome back to Redirecting. I have a story that was shared with me that kind of struck a nerve with me, and I'm pretty sure many others at this point. This is the story of a San Francisco court ordering a black landlord to forfeit her $4 million house to a white tenant. Yes, you heard me right. A San Francisco court is telling this woman that she has to give her $4 million house to a white tenant. And so this is one of the most outrageous stories I've ever heard in my life. So I'm going to go ahead and share some of the details with you on what is happening here. But I don't care what explanation that's provided. How is this even possible? How is this even possible? And so you can imagine the conversations surrounding this, right? The conversations surrounding this and the conversations that can spring forth from it when you look at this in the reverse, okay? Now, basically, this is being called one of the most outrageous judgments ever, okay? One of the most outrageous. The homeowner's name is Ann Kahaji. And she's been ordered to basically give her $4 million building to a white tenant. The reason behind the court's decision was that the landlord had displaced the tenant so that her sister could move in. Now, the displacement might seem unfair, but it is completely legal. Okay? So we're going to get into that part of it in a moment. But can you imagine if this were happening for all of the displaced people of color? How long have we seen that happen? Not just being displaced, but ran out of neighborhoods and just all kinds of things. But so you're basically seeing that there is a system in place that will protect certain groups over others, period. And other groups, things that have happened to them for a very long time have been completely ignored. But when they see something as an injustice towards them, a whole different set of rules. Okay, so let me just give you some more of the story here. And I'm pretty sure everyone's going to have an opinion about this, right? And I can't think of any sane, rational person who would think that this was fair. Okay, again, they said that it's completely legal to allow a loved one to move into a home that you own. The same in reverse, if you, not necessarily in reverse, but if you yourself rented out a house and you needed it to live in for yourself, you are perfectly within your rights to ask the tenant to leave so that you can take occupancy of your own property. So let's get more into the story here. It says, San Francisco law allows a landlord to recover possession of a rented unit for either the owner or the owner's close relatives to occupy. So you see, the law allows this. San Francisco law allows this. This means that the landlord has the right to evict a tenant so that a close relative can move in. This was precisely the case in Ms. Kahaji's building. But apparently this law, and I'm just reading what the article says here, it says apparently this law is only for white landlords and does not apply to blacks. In 2014, Ms. Kahaji purchased an impressive building for $2.5 million. Using some of the money she managed for her young sister, she also made some investments. Ms. Kahaji, now a landlord, could assist her young sister, so she did this. She did what any loving big sister would do. She decided to give one of the units in the building to her younger sister to live in. To do this, she had to evict one of her tenants. Now remember, this was within her rights as a landlord. After removing the tenant, her younger sister moved into the unit in 2016. Now let me say this again. The law allows you to do this. For those of you who may miss that part, you know what I mean? Because, you know, people do have selective hearing when it comes to certain things, especially dealing with so-called black people. You have those with selective hearing. They don't want to see us advance in anything, so therefore, they will hear what they want to hear. We see it all the time in mainstream media where they will report things a certain way. But anyway, let's continue with the story. Ms. Kahaji's sister, after moving in, had her partner move in with her. They also had a child while living in that unit. Meanwhile, Ms. Kahaji had also refurbished the building, making its value increase to a whopping $4 million. Now, this was the status of things until the city attorney connived with the tenant to bring malicious cases against Ms. Kahaji. They teamed up with a group of attorneys to take her down. It sounds basically like what we see happening a lot, especially with gentrification of certain urban areas where they want to take it back and use it for something else while kicking the people out, if you know what I mean. Okay. It's important to note that the city attorney, Dennis Herrera, had in 2015 threatened to drive Ms. Kahaji out of the city. Okay, so keep that in mind. And seeing an opportunity, he grabbed it with both hands. So this is what we talk about when we say there's a system that's in place that would even allow such a thing to take place in the first of all, he had to have the mindset already there to say, I'm going to get this woman out of here. And so not only did he have that mindset, but he put it into action. That's what we mean by privilege and using a system to treat others wrongly or unfairly. So therefore, despite all the evidence that Ms. Kahaji's young sister had been living in the building, the city attorney claimed that she never moved in. Now, they managed to convince a white jury that the notice of eviction was a sham notice. Okay, so get this. Again, we're talking about a system that's in place, a code by a people. They said they managed to convince a white jury. Now, when they say managed to convince, it sounds like they thought it was something out of the ordinary for a white jury to do something like this, to find in favor of something so horrific against a black person. I don't think there was any managing to find or convince. I think it was something that was just very natural. Now, those of you listening to this who may differ on that, haven't we seen precedent after precedent where white juries had no issue or problem at all going against the best interest of the so-called black person? We've seen it so many times throughout history, so don't pretend like we don't know what we're talking about. Don't gaslight us into thinking that we're just talking out of the side of our necks, okay? Let me go on with the story. It says, as a result, these claims and accusations, the San Francisco court ruled that Ms. Kahaji should give the entire 5-unit building to the evicted white tenant. Now, isn't that ludicrous? Not just a unit. They didn't want to just give her the unit back. They said, no, we're going to steal from you and give the entire building to this white tenant. Now, the tenant will take control of the entire building with rental income from all the 4 other units for supposedly being displaced so that the landlord's sister could move in. The court didn't consider giving the unit back to the tenant after awarding her the sum. The court gave her the entire building. And so even though Ms. Kahaji could buy a tenant a condo for $800,000, the court decided to give the tenant the $4 million building. This same court that ruled that Ms. Kahaji's younger sister never moved into the building, they also ordered that she be evicted from the same building. How contradictory of a ruling is that? And how can the court be allowed to get away with such a blatant display of injustice? Okay, I'm going to answer that question before I continue reading. How can they do this? Because there's a system that has been set in place for a long time, as I've been saying, that has historically allowed them to do just these types of things and worse to so-called black people. This system has been well established for centuries. And so it was a very comfortable thing for them to do because it's not new to them. It's not new to them. They're used to doing these kinds of things. So at this point, if anyone is in shock, I don't understand why. Now, we talk about these things. Some people, they think that we're in shock because we talk about these things. Now, we're bringing attention to these things. It doesn't mean that just because a person does a video on a subject that we're in shock. We're just sharing the details because many of our people are unaware that these things are happening because they kind of stay in that little black shell in their own communities. Now, of course, more and more people are starting to look out and see these injustices, but there are those who really don't know that these things are happening or have ever happened and are still happening. But this is one of the worst that I've seen in a long time of something of this nature. Of course, we have other things that are just far more horrible, dealing with the loss of life and things of that nature, but the case is currently on appeal, as it should be. But why have the people who know about this case kept their heads down? Why has nobody spoken up? Should the law be used as a means of abuse? A tool for the city attorney to carry out his grievance or his grievances against Ms. Kahaji? Does the law not apply to a hard-working black immigrant family? Where is the justice for this strong black woman? She is in every respect as American as her white counterparts. Should she not be allowed the same privileges? So, as I read through this story and I looked at this whole situation, again, there was no shock nor surprise to me because we have seen these types of things played out for a very long time. But let's get the conversation rolling. What are your thoughts on this? In the comment section, tell us what you think about this particular scenario. I don't care what your race is. Let's be fair. Put yourself in this woman's shoes. Do you think this is fair? What is happening to this woman? And I truly hope that this story gains enough traction to where she will get justice in having her property returned to her. Okay, and that this will never be allowed to even come into fruition. Because again, Let me make this point again that I made early on in the video. How many so-called black people have been displaced way worse than this? Back during the time where we were literally just physically removed from land and property and just taken from us. Some of those wrongs have never been made right. And yet, they call this displacement when you see it happen all the time where people are being evicted for a number of different reasons. In this case, this was a legal right that the owner had to either move in the property herself or allow one of her close relatives to move in the property. So, hello and welcome back to Redirecting. I am about to share a video with you that is so very disturbing and sad, and all kinds of emotions are going to be triggered by this video as you see the raw reaction.
Like, because I asked you to leave because you did not pay your rent. I asked you to leave my house. I wasn't evicting you. I didn't want to even put an eviction on your record. I just asked you to leave my house and you do this shit? Like, because I asked you to leave my house and you wouldn't leave, talking about, Timmy, you gonna have to take me to court. You do all this though. Like, I ain't never did shit to you, never. I gave your bitch ass a place to live when nobody else would give you a place to live. And you tear my shit up? Ain't no scam, bitch, because ain't no insurance on this motherfucker. This is going to come out of my pocket, bitch. You got to have insurance to pull a scam, dumb bitch. Like, you did this shit to me because I asked you to pay me my money? I work hard every motherfucking day. I go to work and stay the fuck out the way. I don't bother no motherfucking body. I didn't care if you and your nigga was in this bitch selling drugs, doing whatever the fuck you was doing. I didn't give a fuck. I told you, as long as you keep my house up and pay me my rent, I wasn't gonna fuck with y'all. Ain't no landlord doing that shit. Because I know y'all gotta feed y'all family like I gotta feed mine, bitch. This what the fuck y'all do to people? I swear to God on my mother, bitch, if I see you, I'm going to prison. And that's on my kids. I'll shoot you dead in your motherfucking face, bitch. I'm mad as a motherfucker. I'd kill this bitch if I seen her. On my soul, I would. I'm mad as fuck. My motherfucking tenants called me and asked me for $2,000, and I give it to him. Like, this, I'm not that type of motherfucker. This is fucked up. This bitch bogus. This, bro, I'm so motherfucking mad. I swear to God. Oh, my mama, I'm mad, bro. If I see this bitch, I'd kill this bitch. Oh, my soul, I would. I'd kill this bitch. I'd do anything for people. I work hard for the shit I got so I can feed my kids and leave my kids something. I could be doing any motherfucking thing out here. I go to work and take care of my motherfucking kids. I don't go out. I don't do shit. Fuck ass bitch. Man, I'm mad as fuck. This is why people be fucking people up. I swear to God. This is people fuck people up. I'm so mad. They know. Lord God, I'm so thankful I moved out of Racine, because if I could have got to this bitch while she was doing it, it'd be some flower bringing in. Ooh, man, I would have killed that bitch. I would have beat her and her kids up. I would have killed them all. Oh, my mama, I would have. She had them little ghetto, badass, ugly motherfuckers running around here with a hammer, busting my shit out. Punk ass bitch. Ooh. Whew. Lord, keep me. Lord, I need to calm the fuck down. But I know I gotta start getting this shit up and secure this house. I'm so motherfucking mad. Look at this bitch.
Today's podcast is titled Crying Landlords, Teen Innovation, and Reparations. Once again, Crying Landlords, Teen Innovation, and Reparations. We just heard a crying landlord who, although he might not feel that way at the time that this was recorded, was blessed by a so-called tenant. There's a trend, been going on for some time, but I'm going to connect the dots between the crime landlord, teen innovations, and reparations. But before we do that, let me play the next audio, which is what I call a tie-in to all this. Matter of fact, before we played the last audio, we played an audio of a woman, happens to be black, in San Francisco. That's where we played the Pacific Heights trailer. Had a building valued at $4 million. She was ordered to turn the building over to some tenants. We call that housejacking. So we're going to include all of it in Crying Landlords, Teen Innovation, and Reparations. Tie these connected dots between all these and at least where I see the ball going.
Also tonight, the incredible transformation and the Buffalo Strong spirit that made it all happen. 7 Eyewitness News reporter Taylor Epps shows us how a young lady has completed her very own renovation project.
11-year-old Lauren Nelson had big plans for her summer.
I thought it was going to be pretty fun, but with COVID going on, it was going to be not as fun as it could be.
But things changed one day when she was flipping through an American Girl doll magazine at her home in Attica.
And she showed us a $650 VW bus. My husband was like, that's ridiculous. You could buy your own camper for that price.
So she did just that. Lauren saved some money and started looking. A neighbor just down the road had this 20-foot camper that caught her eye.
And then the one day, up popped a for sale sign, and she squealed the whole way home.
And she started negotiating.
It wasn't very hard. He said $500, and I said $400 because that was the money that I had in my bank account. And he said sold.
Then it was time to renovate.
It was a process. We brought home a family of mice. And so there was a lot of deep cleaning,
but that didn't stop her.
I was very motivated because I really wanted a place where I could just, like, hang out like my own house.
The whole renovation process took Lauren about 2 months, and with the help of family and friends, she was able to turn this into this.
It's called Camp Hygge. It means very comfortable and safe. It has its own kitchen and bathroom, so it's like a tiny house.
So now you're the owner of a tiny home at 11 years old.
Yes.
The whole project cost her $800.
she has three envelopes that she puts her money in, give, save, and spend. I think she made a really good choice. She now says she's part of the Tiny Home Nation. She was able to turn her summer around and hopes to inspire others to do the same, which is awesome to see that somebody who's 11 years old had her own vision but now is out there and other people are contacting us and they've gone out and bought a camper to do the same thing.
If you're looking to have some big plans in the future, you should go out and do it. Make it happen.
In Attica, Taylor Epps, 7 Eyewitness News.
Now, Laura Nelson is a preteen, just 11 years old as we speak in September 2020. And to tie into our title today, Crying Landlords, Teen Innovations, and Reparations, the people in Laura Nelson's demographic, which once again, she's a preteen, they're getting innovative. Her and people like her have done, because we've played some of these audios on here where 13-year-olds have built their own tiny houses. Marie TV, is African-American young lady. She's 19 now. She got pregnant at 15, had a child at 16. She bought a shed and converted that into a tiny house. That's where people like Laura Nelson, 11 years old, people like Marie of Marie TV, that's where the ball is going. We're talking about preteens and teens that are looking at their parents and grandparents, and maybe some cases great-grands. They are deciding at a young age, you know what, I'm not going to get in bed with a banker. I'm not going to borrow. Because if you get a 30-year mortgage, that's basically you're borrowing against 30 years of your life when you sign up for that. So that's where the ball is going. You're seeing a lot of people, preteen and teenagers, that are not buying homes, but actually building something from scratch, or buying something and then, you know, recycling it, or upgrade. What do they call it? Upcycling. Now, once again, let's tie this into reparations, particularly from a person like Marie of Marie TV, who's, like I said, she's African American. From what I can see from the YouTube barometer and Facebook barometer, these preteens and teens that are starting their own businesses, creating their own debt-free housing, they're not looking towards government to help them out or bail them out. And they're not talking about reparations. They're not talking about reparations at all. So although you do have a certain group of older people that might be talking about it, but this younger set, like I say, the preteens and teens, that word's not coming up in their vocabulary, reparations. In any event, let's tie this into the crying landlord. The crying landlord, they basically probably need to, you know what, if I was, we're going to take another viewpoint from the crying landlord and see what he can do, or what any crying landlord can do, because I've been right where he was. That's why we have It's My House now, as my therapist. But we're going to take another listen to from a different point of view on the crying landlord, and then take a look at, all right, how could he have prevented it? And then, of course, no matter what you do in a landlord game, you're going to get burnt by somebody. That's just the nature of the business. But how to decrease those odds. We're going to talk about that. And then, once again, teen innovation. I take a look, because teens will be adults pretty soon. And the majority of you are buying public. But in any event, we'll come back for more Crying Landlords, Teen Innovation, and Reparations.
Hello and welcome back to Redirecting. I am about to share a video with you that is so very disturbing and sad, and all kinds of emotions are going to be triggered by this video as you see the raw reaction of the homeowner of this property. It is so sad that I myself felt the brother's pain, okay? He rented this property. The tenant destroyed it. Destroyed the property, okay? And he was very raw with his emotions, so I'm going to say parental discretion advised. If you have sensitive ears that can't take some very extreme profanity, this is not the video to watch. But if you want to understand why people just don't want to deal with black folks sometime, this is the video to watch. I will be right back.
Like, because I asked you to leave because you did not pay your rent. I asked you to leave my house. I wasn't evicting you. I didn't want to even put an eviction on your record. I just asked you to leave my house and you do this shit? Like, because I asked you to leave my house? And you wouldn't leave, talking about, Timmy, you gonna have to take me to court? You do all this, though? Like, I ain't never did shit to you, never. I gave your bitch ass a place to live when nobody else would give you a place to live. And you tear my shit up? Ain't no scam, bitch, because ain't no insurance on this motherfucker. This is gonna come out of my pocket, bitch. You gotta have insurance to pull a scam, dumb bitch. Like, you did this shit to me because I asked you to pay me my money? I work hard every motherfucking day. I go to work and stay the fuck out the way. I don't bother no motherfucking body. I didn't care if you and your nigga was in this bitch selling drugs, doing whatever the fuck you was doing. I didn't give a fuck. I told you, long as you keep my house up and pay me my rent, I wasn't gonna fuck with y'all. Ain't no landlord doing that shit. Because I know y'all gotta feed y'all family like I gotta feed mine, bitch. This is what the fuck y'all do to people. I swear to God on my mama, bitch, if I see you, I'm going to prison. And that's on my kids. I'll shoot you dead in your motherfucking face, bitch. I'm mad as a motherfucker. I'd kill this bitch if I seen her. On my soul, I would. I'm mad as fuck. My motherfucking tenants called me and asked me for $2,000, and I give it to them. Like, this, I'm not that type of motherfucker. This is fucked up. This bitch bogus. This, bro, I'm so motherfucking mad. I swear to God. Oh, my mama, I'm mad, bro. If I see this bitch, I'd kill this bitch. On my soul, I would. I'd kill this bitch. I'd do anything for people. I work hard for the shit I got so I can feed my kids and leave my kids something. I could be doing any motherfucking thing out here. I go to work and take care of my motherfucking kids. I don't go out. I don't do shit. Fuck ass bitch. Man, I'm mad as fuck. This is why people be fucking people up. I swear to God. This is people fuck people up. I'm so mad. They know. Lord God, I'm so thankful you I moved out of Racine, because if I could have got to this bitch while she was doing it, it'd be some flower bringing in. Ooh, man, I would have killed that bitch. I would have beat her and her kids up. I would have killed them all. Oh, my mama would have. She had them little ghetto, badass, ugly motherfuckers running around here with a hammer, busting my shit out. Punk ass bitch. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Whew. Lord, keep me. Lord, I need to calm the fuck down. But I know I gotta start getting this shit up and secure this house. I'm so motherfucking mad. Look at this bitch. Man, I mean, the bitch took a hammer to my washer and dryer. Like, I feel like everybody should live nice. Everybody should be able to live. I want my tenants to live good, so I put the Samsung front loaders and shit. Like, landlords don't do this type of shit, but these bitches, what? Like, because I asked you to pay me my rent, and if you couldn't to leave, you bust out all my windows and tear shit up like this? Nikki, you a dirty bitch. You a dirty-ass bitch. On the real, you a dirty bitch. On the real. All the doors, all, bro. Man. Look at this. I can't even stop. My dumb ass walking around in circles and shit. I'm so motherfucking mad. I'm confused my motherfucking self. Like, this shit retarded. I'm motherfucking crying. I'm mad as a bitch. I'm mad as a motherfucker. Shit. Ooh. Bro. Man, I cannot believe this bitch did this though. It's cool. It ain't cool. Hey, go downstairs in that truck and grab some garbage bags, them heavy-duty construction bags off the car.
Now, as you've just seen, this man was beside himself, turned upside down, inside out. Every emotion you could possibly trigger happened in this man, and rightfully so. We know what this feels like. We used to be in real estate a long time ago, and we have experienced what this man has experienced, where tenants will destroy your property for merely asking them to pay their rent. And this man's emotions, he just let them all hang out. He let them all hang out, and rightfully so. So for those of you who don't like to hear other people get judged, please don't watch this video. If you think that it's wrong for this man and myself and many others who will look at this tenant and judge her and say that she is low down and dirty, if you don't want to hear someone being judged, then please don't watch this video, because it's unfortunate and sad that our people expect you to sit back and say nothing as we continue to tear each other down, destroy one another, misuse, mistreat, and abuse one another. You have those who sit on the sidelines and say, how dare you judge this person? How dare you be so judgmental? Listen, this is one of the reasons right here why we had better be judgmental, because people like this will cause you to end up in prison. Like the man said, he said if he was anywhere near his house when this was happening, he would be in prison. And see, some of you say, well, his reactions are over the top. Get out of here with that mess. I would say, let someone do this to you. You buy a property. For all of those who say that people are too judgmental today towards others, you buy yourself a property and you put somebody in there and you put all of the trimmings, a nice double stack Samsung washer and dryer. You do all of that stuff. New flooring, new windows, all of that. You do that and let me see your response if someone destroys your property. See, the people who are always saying that others are looking down on others and you're judging people and you're too harsh and you're too mean and you're too self-righteous, those of you who think like that, you are the ones who support people who did what that young lady did. Now, one thing that I wouldn't have done to the young man who did the video, although I understand your pure, raw emotions, I probably wouldn't have said all of the things that you would have done to her if you saw her, because, you know, people are not fair. They will say, well, he's very threatening and blah, 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 knowing good and well that most of them would do the same thing too, you see. But sometimes you can't incriminate yourself with saying what you would do, you see, because anything you say can and will be used against you. That would be the advice that I would give you as a mother. For those of you who say that I try to mother the whole world, maybe I do, okay? I like to give good information to those who will receive it. If you don't want the information, then by all means, walk on by. But I would say to this young man, my husband and myself were in real estate for a while. We owned a lot of property, had a lot of tenants a long time ago, but we would probably never, ever want to do that kind of business again, because we've had some nightmare situations and stories dealing with black tenants. Black tenants. I mean, we can give you some horror stories that would literally, literally make you cringe. I'm talking people costing you thousands of dollars from destroying property, stealing from you, gutting properties. We even had one of our properties set on fire. Someone set one of our properties on fire. Another property, young lady moved in with the first month's rent and deposit. After that, she stopped paying. We said, okay, look, we need our rent. We need our rent. Okay, we need our rent. Okay, time to go to court. Since you don't want to give us our rent, she destroyed the property, left all of the water running in the tub. She stopped up the tub, left the water running, flooded the whole house. The neighbor next door to the house had to call us and say, your tenant's gone, but she left the water running because we see it running out of the house. We got there, brand new carpet ruined, floors ruined, buckling, because they were wood floors, but buckling underneath the ruined carpet. But yet you say you're too judgmental. You see, I'm going to tell y'all right now, times have changed. The crap has hit the fan. And so-called black people who don't get it and think people are supposed to keep on putting up with your mess year in and year out, you're going to find yourself in a very peculiar situation when the crap hits the fan and you try to cross one of those bridges you burn down. When you burn a bridge, it ain't no getting back across. That's it. That is it. Once you burn it, it's gone. And so all of you bridge burners, and you who don't want to understand where another person is coming from or even feel the hurt or the pain that they're feeling, and you say that we shouldn't judge, be judgmental, you have to understand, you have to be judgmental in certain situations. You have to be. As a matter of fact, in ancient times, if you look at our ancient culture, for those of you who have been westernized and say, don't judge me, you have been westernized, because in our ancient cultures, our ancestors, our elders did judge, and this is how they were able to keep things intact. But then our people just got so messy and out of control. This is why we're where we are today, because everybody said, don't judge me. When I do wrong, don't judge me. When I step out of bounds, don't judge me. When I kill, steal, and destroy, don't judge me. When I take something from you or him, you don't judge me. Mind your own business. I stole it from him, not you. Mind your own business. Don't judge me. This is the mindset that have kept us in bondage, mentally and spiritually. We've got to get past this, because the raw emotions that this young man felt, I felt it. I've experienced that before. It is a hurtful, painful thing to help someone, to put yourself out there for someone, and for that person to try to destroy you or hurt you in return for the good that you've done. If you all don't get it, listen to his words again. He called her a dirty bee, because that's the worst that he can come up with to purge out some of those emotions he was feeling from what this woman did to his property. And when he said that she probably had her children helping, that's the part that really got to me, because I know that there are so-called black women who will do just that. We've seen it on video before where these black women were having her little son kick this man. He was a black security guard, and they were kicking this man. And if he had laid their little behinds out, then she would have been crying and weeping and moaning. But you don't have your boys disrespecting a grown black man who was doing his job. And then when he grows up, your son grows up, and he's out here in the streets and he gets mowed down by the police or some other thug, then you're on the news crying and screaming and begging for justice. Now, I'm not saying that that's the case with every mother who has lost a son. I'm trying to make a point here that we as a people have got to get it together and stop making excuses for foolishness and telling other people to be quiet and mind your own business and stop judging you. It's time that we all step up to the plate and admonish one another daily. That's what the scripture says. It says, admonish one another daily while it is today. Because the Most High is no longer winking at our madness and our foolishness. So you can keep at it if you want to, wanting people to be silent when you do your mess. But guess what? That judgment hammer is going to pursue you until it mows you down. And with that, I am out. Notified of new uploads on this channel. And also, comment, share.
What's going on, Shay Show Gang? I'm at Lorraine's house. We haven't been here in a while, and of course we got freaking squatters. And she coming up with all, I live here legally and blah, 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 and I got ownership papers. All she showed me was some old beat up lease. There's no furnace in here. There's no water tank in here. Even the windows are still boarded up the way I had them boarded up on the inside. Now, who lives like this? Who lives like this? You calling the police? I hope so. I'm just trying to take pictures of how this thing, how it is. And how it's... I'm taking pictures of my house in the condition.
Okay. You should have
taken this. This is crazy.
We'll be back.
Is that your sister? Is that she your sister?
That's her daughter.
Her daughter? Oh, okay. All right.
Show your 100 videos,
because
I
want to
see it, because...
I'm not going to go. I'm just...
Okay, well,
I
wait on the police.
Are they coming?
I ain't going to call for nothing.
All right, good. I'll wait here, there. No problem.
Oh, you just want to be my kid.
Oh, okay. Did you call them? Because I'll call them.
I called.
Good.
I'm going to get my kids. That's what I just said. I didn't wait
to run the
market for nothing.
You want your fool down
there? Yeah. This
don't be pissed at me. Be pissed. Be pissed. I know you shouldn't be.
I'm not mad at all at you.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I've been going through so much, and I just came from St. Anthony. What? What? Go ahead, because they got all that food. And I had to just rush home.
You should put money in somebody else's house. That's the landlord's job to do that. So when y'all keep saying you put money in the house, I don't understand how that works.
I didn't put no money in no house.
That's what he told me. Your son told me. He said you
put
a lot.
That's my son. That's my. Who told you that?
The guy inside.
No, he didn't tell you that.
He did. He said she put a lot of money into his house.
With the landlord. Yes, with the landlord.
Landlord, why would the landlord have you put money into his house?
No, because
there's no there's no furnace or water taken here right now. How long you guys been in here?
Ever since April.
Since April.
March.
Well, again, you shouldn't be here.
April, May, June. Yeah.
You shouldn't be here. I'm trying to be nice. Really, I am. I'm really trying to be nice. I even give you an extra day or two to get out of here. But if not, if I had to call police and show my paperwork, they're gonna escort you out of here today. So I'm just, I'm not gonna debate with you. I'm not gonna argue with you. I'm just telling you what it is and what time it is, because I deal with this shit all the time. It's really frustrating to come to your house and to find out that somebody in your shit, and nobody should be in here. The house is still boarded up the same way I boarded it. When you open up the door, it says the house is still boarded the same way I did it. And the fact that you got handles like this, that's why I'm taking pictures of this. Why would you live like this since April?
No, and it wasn't since April. This had just
You got
happened.
Key to that door?
Yes.
Okay, then you changed the lock then again.
No, we ain't changed shit.
Sure you did.
What, you trying to record?
Sure you did. Sure you did.
What?
Sure you did. Sure you did. Because I got the original key right here. So this key, if my key don't fit... That means you changed the lock. So whoever changed the lock. But I know you got scammed. You got scammed. That's the bottom line.
You
got scammed.
You recorded me, and I don't like being
recorded. Well, you on my property. I can record and do what I want to do. You on my property.
See,
yeah, sure it is. Because it's illegally done. Like I said, here's the thing. If you want an extra day or two to get out of here, you guys can do that. If not, did the police come out here? Probably no, you're not gonna get a whole month. That ain't gonna happen. I'm trying to work with you right now. I'm trying to be nice right now. Really, I'm trying to be nice right now because I don't have to do this. I do not have to do this at all. I don't have to do this at all. Really, I don't. I'm trying to be nice. You won't get no month. That's for certain. If you get two or three extra days, you'd be lucky. That's what I'm saying. But I have police come out here and they have you escort you out here today. I'm trying not to do that. I'm trying to work with you. Obviously, I'm a professional, and I'm trying to do the right thing to try to help you guys out. Mm-hmm. But you have to leave here. That's all I'm trying to tell you.
So you saying you're going to put me in another house?
I didn't say I can put you anywhere. What you need to leave is
okay,
this one.
Babe, put this in the freezer for me. If they want to get the rest of the grocery, I have the rest for this. Well... like to know you want to be the real owner, but at the end
there's
of
my day, number right there, honey, for the whole world to see. That's my number right there. See what it says? What I do? This is what I do for a living. So I'm going to say this one last time. Can you guys be out of here in a couple of days? If not, I can come back over here before the day is out and have the police escort you out. I'm trying to be nice. I'm really trying. I'm trying to be nice. I swear to God, I am. Really. Take a picture of it. Got no problem with that.
Hello? At the house. And they on their way up there to get y'all.
Again, because I got to go. I got to get ready to go to another house. So what do we do?
Well, you can give me a couple days.
Pardon me?
You can give me a couple days.
What's the day? The day is Tuesday, right? Wednesday. No, today is Tuesday. Day is Tuesday, correct? I'll be here Friday with the police. Friday. And I hope that you guys are gone, because if not, they're going to escort you out, and whatever you have is going to be set out. I'm trying not to do that. I'm trying to be nice. Go ahead, take a picture of it. Take a picture of that, and I'm going to take a picture of you. I mean, yeah. Well, yeah, you're taking a picture of my truck, so why can't I take a picture of you?
Okay, because I don't like this.
I don't care. You're in my house. You're on my property. I can take a picture of you. Again, I'm going to say this again. Are you going to be gone Friday, or do I need to come back before the end of the day out and do this? What's your choice? The choice is yours. I'm trying to be nice. Pardon me? Take a picture of me, too.
I don't need a picture of you. I'm just taking a picture of my house.
It's not your house.
No,
you're not paying rent. You're not paying rent. You know, there's no furnace and water tank. Why would you pay rent if there's no furnace and water tank? I don't even know why I'm sitting here arguing with you.
Come out here.
Pardon me?
My landlord is coming out.
You don't have. I'm the landlord. I'm the owner. You just said you'd give you a couple days. So are you going to leave by Friday or no, ma'am?
I'm
Let me know so I know what I need to do before the day is out. Again, Friday, ma'am?
Yeah, you said Friday, right?
Friday?
Yeah, that's what you said.
All right, I'll be back here Friday with the police. I hope that you're out of here, okay?
Okay, well, I'll call you back.
Man, I tell you, these fucking squatters is just incredible. Yeah, going by Friday. I just had the police come back and we just put them out and be done with this shit. I'm sorry. I'm so sick of this shit. I don't know what the damn do. Just fucking crackhead and shit. There's no furnace. There's no water tank in there. Nothing. But it's able to get gas and lights on because they came up with a fucking fake lease. I know she's bullshit when she said, I got ownership paperwork. She come up with this fake-ass lease. We had somebody on Rose Line and Dan's probably do the same damn thing. We went in there. They was a little bit more smarter. They just started moving their shit right there on the spot. They knew the jig was up.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But what these people doing, they trying to fight it to the tooth and nail. She went from, I don't have no place to go, this is my place, I'm paying the landlord, we both did this together, but I ain't got nowhere to go, get me to Friday and I can be out of here. That's when people started talking like that, then you know already they full of shit.
And somebody broke in the house, she broke in the house. Yeah. Landlord.
Oh man, this is much sometimes. It really is. Frustrating, but you know, I deal with this all the damn time.
I know. Exactly.
The house is still even boarded up the same way I left it. When they had the door open, I said, I put those boards up. Mm-hmm. And the mother, I thought it was her sister, they both ugly as hell, but she said, well, can you got somewhere else for her to go? No. I can go to hell for all I care. See, when people squat like that, they're hoping that no one shows up.
Right.
And that guy on the inside, he sounds like a damn idiot. You heard what he said?
Yeah.
Well, why y'all just coming up now? We've been here all this time. Well, you're not making no sense.
Right. You ain't supposed to be here.
You're not supposed to be here.
Yeah.
I told him. So you telling me, if you went out of town for 3 or 4 months and came back and somebody took your plate because you're not here, that's supposed to be okay? Oh, it's the most crazy shit I ever heard. Gotta go. You guys stay tuned for this one.
First, the extraordinary standoff between a homeowner and a squatter. It's Julie's house, it's in her name, and she pays the mortgage. But for more than 2 years, Teresa Smith has been living there, slowly destroying it. And unbelievably, not even police can kick her out.
She's destroyed me. She's destroyed me.
I gotta back you, Julie, when I get my hands on you. What do you want?
How long has she been in there for?
2.5 years.
It's a long time.
Yeah, a long, long time. You know, it's just destroyed.
Teresa, can I please talk to you?
I just want to know why.
I did love my house and I love the garden, yeah.
This was Julie Pern's house only 3 years ago. Chooks in the yard, fruit on the trees. But it was more than just a pretty patch. It was a place that held her final memories of her dear father.
We had to put my stepmom in a nursing home and she passed away and Dad lived with me. So it was the last place he lived with me and he loved it as much as I did.
Julie's dad Ian became ill in 2016 and she had to place him in a nursing home an hour away. So she hopped in her motorhome and hit the road so she could be close by. She leased her property out to a family friend, Nathan Atkinson. But when she returned after her father's death, she discovered that Nathan had left and his sister, Teresa Smith, had moved in with her kids.
And she was in the front garden. And I just asked, what was she doing? And she said she'd moved in. And that was that.
That was late 2016. Julie claims that ever since, no rent has been paid on her Deniliquin property. The only money that Teresa has handed over was to cover two large power bills more than 18 months ago. Not wanting to sour her relationship with the family, Julie says she's been patient, given Teresa space, tried to set up a formal rental agreement, and then even tried to get her financial help.
You've gone out of your way to try and get her help, really?
Yes, to get a rent assistance, to get everything organised, and nothing. She's lost a pension or she's sick or the kids are sick or and then it went from that, I'm squatting so you can't do anything about it.
There's dozens of messages from you in there asking her for rent money every single week and she doesn't reply to you.
No. She just abuses me when I go there to get it.
Throughout this entire period, Julie has continued to pay off her mortgage and pay the bills for her home.
Good girl.
In the meantime, with skin cancer and heart issues, Julie's health is failing her. And surviving on a pension, her financial health isn't much better. Julie has served three eviction notices upon Teresa, all of which have been ignored. She's tried to call the local police, only to be told they can't get involved until she's obtained a court order. But now she's been told by the New South Wales Civil and Administrative Tribunal, NCAT, that the case will be a difficult one as there was never an official rental agreement.
And such a shame.
At her wit's end, she called us.
Excuse me, Teresa.
And together we went to try and talk to Teresa.
Terrible. It's not fair.
Not surprisingly, Teresa didn't want to speak to us.
It's destroyed. The shed round the back's empty from all my tools, but how about the house?
I'm going to back you, Julie, when I get my hands on you. What do you want?
Teresa, it's Alison Petrowski from A Current Affair. We just wanted to have a word to you about the property and what you're doing here.
Teresa, I really need to move home. I'm not well. Have the decency come and talk to us, please, Teresa. Come on.
Teresa, what sort of example are you setting for your kids by doing this?
You okay, Julie?
Yeah.
The house has been turned inside out. Furniture has been discarded.
Look at the bed up there. I mean, for God's sake.
The front door's broken, and so are remnants of Julie's precious garden. And it gets worse. Her garage door is busted. A car Julie left inside looks to be damaged. There's bags of trash lying everywhere. A used nappy in the driveway. And all the personal touches that Julie had put on her little cottage now leave a sour taste.
Love where you are. Does she look like she loves it? Don't think so.
Teresa, can I please talk to you?
Teresa, if you could just have the courtesy to come out and have a chat to Julie. I mean, it is her property.
You okay? Yeah. Yep.
Sorry? Don't swear. Teresa, just come out. Come out and sit.
Your camera crew with you, Julie.
So what?
You're a liar.
What? You think you're in here?
Julie, you're a liar!
As far as she's concerned, she's got the rights and she's there. And she's told me that. You know, it's her place. She tells me to get off her property. Get out of her house.
I understand why you're paying your mortgage still. Why are you still paying the other things? Have you been tempted to cut her off?
The rates?
Yeah.
No, because she's got kids living there and I couldn't do that.
Squatters' rights do exist in Australia, but there's some very clear rules around it, and it's not an easy thing to claim.
According to Leo Patterson-Ross, the Senior Policy Officer of the Tenancy Union of New South Wales, you need to be squatting for 12 years before you can claim ownership. He says Julie's only real option to remove Teresa is to go to NCAT once again and plead her case.
Then it may be that actually the tribunal dismisses the case and says this isn't a tenancy, there is no legal relationship here, which makes it very clear, though, for the owner to say that you're trespassing on my property and call the police.
Julie is doubtful after her previous experience with red tape trying to go to the tribunal. She's now also attempting to engage a solicitor, but is worried about the potential costs. She's set up camp a couple of kilometres from her house and says she's not leaving till she gets her home back.
There's no guarantee if I go to a solicitor and spend $20,000-$30,000 that will get her out either. So where are you left? Not a good place.
It's awful. Following more legal advice, Julie's going to deliver another termination notice for rent arrears to Teresa this week and will return to the tribunal to try to get her out.